The day after Donald Trump took office 3 years ago, roughly 1% of the American population took to the streets to march, marching for women and women's rights, marching in protest, marching in support. There were lots of reasons and lots of people. The estimates range from 3 million plus across the country to more than 5 million, and people also marched in other parts of the world. The marches have continued, not everywhere, but in many places. Reading continues to hold a women's march on this weekend. The march starts at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning at Reading City Hall. Let's visit with two of the marchers. Elizabeth Betancourt is one of the main organizers for the Reading Women's March. Elizabeth, welcome.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
And we also have with us Rachel Freeman Sowers, who apparently is a first-time marcher. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey.
So, Elizabeth, let's start with the story of the Reading March. Were you part of the operation at the very beginning?
I was. I was actually the founder of the Reading Women's March. We ended up planning this with less than a week to go. I was thinking of going down to Sacramento, like many of us up here. We thought we'd join a larger crowd. But my husband and a very dear friend at work said, well, why don't you just do it here? We need that statement more here than we need it to be in Sacramento. And so I did. I thought, oh, maybe 20 people will show up. And we had over 200 people show up with less than a week of planning. People were really hungry to show support for women's rights and civil discourse, and we're really pleased, evidently, to have a space to have that discussion. And so that's part of why we've continued to have this march annually.
The short lead time aside, how daunting was it to try to come up with an event like this in Reading, which is in one of the redder parts of California? This is identified as a more liberal sort of event.
It is identified as such. I think many of the values and ethics behind the march should be cross-partisan values of equity and inclusion, but certainly it is largely in response to some of the nastier elements of the 2016 election, which came from the Republican candidate at the time. So it was a little bit daunting. It's something I hadn't done before. But, you know, having the support of friends and family certainly can get you through a lot of tough stuff.
So you know, what, 200-plus people, I guess, for that first one. And then, after that, I mean, were you thinking, whew, well, that was fun. Let's not never do that again. Or was there a different sort of attitude?
Oh, definitely. Our intent with this march is not only to provide a space for people to commune together in civil discourse, in values that I would say represent American values of, again, inclusion and civil discourse. But the objective really is to spur participants on to action, whether that's running for office, which I have done, or whether that's starting a nonprofit, which a number of people have done, or simply, advancing your career in areas of environmental justice or inclusion and equity. Many people have actually taken action because of, I shouldn't say because of the march, but because of the ethics and values and drive behind our participation in the march. Action is an incredibly important part of that.
And have other people come back to you and said, yeah, I did things. I ran for office too, or I had started up a nonprofit, or I did something that I didn't do before?
Absolutely. I actually just wrote a letter of recommendation for one of our March participants for an equity training that will add to her education qualifications in her work in our schools. So, yeah, absolutely. People are taking steps that they may not have thought about taking previously.
And Rachel Freeman Sowers, what is your story? Have you not participated in a march in Reading before? Have you not participated in a march anywhere before?
So actually, I have not participated in a march in anywhere before. So I'm really excited for being able to speak at the Reading Women's March this year.
And what got you involved this time?
So for several years, I've been working with women in the online world and just in general, an advocate and working with LGBTQ people, individuals, and women to help them gain and live a better life of equality and really, really being able to access the power that's within themselves to make a change in the world and a change for the better. And this is one of the things that has propelled me this year. Plus, Elizabeth was gracious enough to ask me to speak, and I love speaking and inspiring and empowering individuals.
Particularly so. Where you're trying to secure and expand rights for LGBTQ people, as you said, do you find that to be just sort of a steady state of resistance? Does it seem to be growing over time?
I believe that the possibility of equality for LGBTQ people is a continued effort by every single one. You know, we have all kinds of individuals who believe in equality, and I believe that there is a lot of progress being made. That being said, there is always more room for improvement. There's always more room to honor the humanness in each one of us that really binds us all together.
We are talking about the Women's March coming to Reading, starting at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning at Reading City Hall. Elizabeth Betancourt is a founder and organizer. Rachel Friedman Sowers is a first-timer and will be speaking at the event. You can join the conversation on the Exchange, and if for no other reason, to talk to us about the Women's March is where you're going to be. I see that there's one coming up in Medford, but that's on March 29th. If there are others coming up sooner, please let us know. 800-838-3760 to join our conversation by phone, to join by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. Elizabeth, this is not an impromptu thing. I mean, maybe the first year was, but not since. Talk about the activities and the length of time it takes to get ready for this.
Well, I feel so lucky to have a group of really passionate women in helping to plan this march annually now. We meet around September, October every year to begin the planning effort. And it's been growing, absolutely, in the number of tables we have, people interested in being present at the march, the number of people attending the march. Certainly that has been affected by weather, but we're really lucky to have sunshine tomorrow instead of rain. So we encourage people to come out. And, just having more people there and more ideas to bring in different themes, different presence, and really make it a unique opportunity and experience every year.
Is there any special significance this year, given it is the anniversary of the women getting the right to vote?
Yeah, absolutely. Our theme this year is the power of one. And so we chose that theme based on the power of not only individual women in our history, advocating for women's rights, advocating for abolition of slavery, advocating for equity in our communities, but also the power of all of us acting as one. That's another key into our I don't want to call it a mandate, but really encouraging participants that this shouldn't be the only day of the year that you come out and show your support for women's rights, LGBTQIA rights, for civil discourse. We should be doing this every single day of the year. And so the power of one, our theme this year, was chosen to really celebrate that and encourage people to take action.
Rachel Friedman Sowers, give us your thoughts on that, because, you know, you do run across people who say, well, you know, I didn't vote because, you know, my vote doesn't make any difference. I'm just one person. But, I mean, as Elizabeth was just alluding to, people working together multiply their force.
Absolutely. I think that is really the beauty of movements such as the Women's March just in general. You know, we get to all of the work I've done with individuals is that when we access the power within us, when we take and have the courage to take these actions, you know, the things that we do often aren't big leaps, but they are in the small incremental actions that change habits, that change beliefs, that introduce new possibilities and a way of being that really honor everyone. And so when we access the power within us, I just love this topic, because we do get to join into a greater collective. The greater collective is all about making a more massive positive impact in the world. And this is really how it's done, is entering ourselves and honoring ourselves while honoring a larger movement. And this is what will make the Women's March go on for years and years to come and make the future so much brighter.
About years and years to come, Elizabeth Betancourt, is that always going to be you think, or are you getting a little tired?
I certainly don't get tired of it, but one of the core ethics of being a leader is identifying and training new leaders to come forward. So I expect to always have a role or participate in the process, but we actually have a new convener this year who stepped forward because I've been so busy with campaigning. Michelle has really done a ton of work in making sure that this march happens this year in terms of tracking events and taking notes and keeping people responsible to their action items. And so I'm just so pleased that we have a really strong cohort of women leaders in this community, and I'm really excited to again, still participate, but be a participant and sit back a little bit and look for new ideas to come forward.
You mentioned running for office. We might as well establish what you're talking about. You have run before and you are running again. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, for Assembly District 1 here in California.
Which is Megan Dolly's district now?
Right now it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take a phone call here. Lisa in Ashland, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about women's marches generally and the Reading March specifically with Elizabeth Betancourt and Rachel Freeman Sowers. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for accepting my call. I just wanted to offer a little bit of clarifying information about this 100th anniversary of the women's right to vote. It is only the 100th anniversary of white women's right to vote. Women of color did not have a right to vote until 1964. So just in light of inclusiveness, it's really important knowledge to have.
Absolutely. Thank you. All right. Thanks so much for that. Appreciate it, Lisa. Any thoughts from you, Elizabeth, or Rachel?
Yeah, the tension, I will say, between women of color and white women in the Women's March movement has certainly not been hidden. It's been an ongoing conversation for the last 4 years. And so I'm really pleased that Lisa brought that concept forward. It's something, you know, we here in Northern California don't have a ton of diversity and certainly are poorer for it. But we do our best in our Women's March movement to always have very diverse voices come forward during the march itself. And absolutely invite anybody who's interested in participating in the planning effort. But yeah, equity and inclusion absolutely must include women of color as well.
And now I notice Women's March Reading speaks of womensmarchreading.com, I should say, that's the website, speaks of a broad spectrum of political sentiments, which you were just talking about. Do you get people from different parties, different points of view on some of the issues?
Yeah, actually, the last couple marches, we've had a few people, you know, I don't count, but a couple of people with Trump signs. While certainly that's not my interpretation of equity and inclusion, the march itself is not meant to be denigrating any individual in particular, although every single participant brings a different perspective to the march, and we include everyone in that effort. So I'm really pleased, actually, that people of different parties feel like they can be included in the effort. What I will say, though, is our march is about more rights, more equity, more recognition, not less. And so we're, you know, this isn't going to be a place where you're going to find support for the constraint of voting rights. This isn't going to be a place where you're going to find support for lessening women's health care access. So this is absolutely about women's rights. We embrace everyone who comes in terms of support for women's rights. But again, more about access, inclusion, more rights rather than less.
Women's rights, anybody's rights, aren't expressed in a vacuum. Obviously, there are always other things going on in the zeitgeist or something else in the air. And this year, for example, how do you choose whether to take a stance on things like impeachment or Iran or anything else that is a hot political topic at the moment?
We actually don't choose to take a stand on issues like that. Individuals, you'll see signs on every possible topic. They are beautiful signs out there speaking to Native American rights and access, speaking to issues like international discord. Climate change is a huge theme for us up here. It's not something that the Women's March dictates. So, and our speakers, and Rachel maybe could speak to this, don't necessarily speak to issues of, international relations or diplomacy. We speak much more to finding your voice.
Rachel, pick it up from there, if you would.
For me, it is coming to speak and coming together with other people to empower them to do what they can where they're at. I am aware of political issues and international issues, but what really concerns me the most is starting here at home where I can make the largest impact. And when we start here at home, when we involve ourselves in our own communities, when we take those actions that really allow us to progress forward and create a different way of thinking, we're actually expanding further out. So I find it has this ripple effect that when we actually take our own action, we create the ripple effect for a more positive impact in the world in other areas such as international or political ways of being.
You know, it's easy, I suppose, in a place where there's a large Republican and or conservative body of people, for people who are not to think of themselves as isolated. But, I mean, it seems like it would behoove, I mean, and just, do you think in terms of, like, trying to reach out to people who you don't normally ally with politically to try to get things done that you have common interests in?
I believe that that's essential. You know, I was speaking to a few people this last week, and one of the things that they told me is that until the Reading Women's March, they didn't think there was anyone else here in Reading that thought like them. And when the Women's March first came along, they said, we were so relieved that we found a group of people that want something different and that want something better. And that's really when we join into the greater part of it, that then people can have a more sense of meaning and purpose in their own community. It's really essential, and the diversity just makes it even more beautiful.
Elizabeth Betancourt, aside from you, and you mentioned, is it Michelle? Is that your new convener?
Yeah, Michelle Weidman.
And how many other people does it take to pull this together?
We have a core group of about, I would say, 10 or 12 individuals, and our planning group is an active planning group. We don't necessarily want people coming to just sit and listen and offer opinions. We want people coming who are going to put a hand to the wheel. And so, she has been amazing in keeping us organized. We have people who are getting security for the event, retaining the permit from the city for the event, reserving community rooms and bathrooms, retaining speakers, coordinating the event itself, doing AV equipment. It takes all kinds of skill sets and organizational capacities and abilities to speak in public or coerce people in private to take part. So, it takes all kinds, and it's a very dedicated, very passionate group of women.
So the gathering is at Reading City Hall starting at 10, is that right?
That's right.
And then the march comes back around to City Hall?
Yeah, so we'll have a rally and speakers between 10 and 10:30, and we expect to march about an hour up and down Cypress Avenue, and it does. We will reconvene at City Hall, and there will be tables, like I mentioned, of organizations in the community that support women's rights, women's health care, that kind of thing.
Okay,
so,
Women's March.
Yeah, we'll be there till 12:30.
All right, womensmarchreading.com. Elizabeth Betancourt and Rachel Freeman Sowers, thank you both so very much.